have your promises we can depend upon. Oh, Lord, help us in these days in which we live, Lord, to stand on those promises. We look forward, Lord, to your word tonight, and being able, Lord, to allow it to minister to our hearts, whether it be for conviction or comfort. Lord, we just pray that you might direct in the service tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Well, it's good to see you here tonight. Welcome out to this Sunday night church service. And thank you all for being here. And those of you here in the building, thank you for coming out. I know it is I guess you're taking a risk. You come out in public here, but do appreciate your attendance here and supporting this church, this service here tonight, so we can have fellowship and sing together. And also our folks that are listening on the recording, thank you for doing that. And we say hello to you, and we haven't forgotten about you. And please send us a note and let us know that you're out there. You can email us, send us an email or write a note and just say hello. We appreciate that. But thank you for joining in with us here tonight. And we'll take a few moments for testimonies. So if you would have a testimony tonight, something you could share as a blessing or something the Lord has done, or maybe some Thanksgiving leftovers. I know that that's always something that maybe you have leftovers in the fridge, but leftovers of Thanksgiving testimonies, that's always good too. Maybe you didn't get to share a Thanksgiving testimony. Tonight you can do that. For our announcements here tonight, Wednesday, we're planning to be out visiting again in our community at 4:30 here at the church. And then we have an elders meeting planned for Thursday night here at the church at 6:30 p.m. And then again on December 18th, that's a Friday night, we're planning to have a Christmas caroling meeting. And that's going to be a little different. We're not going to be going out and about, but we're staying here. And we'll try to do some calling over the telephone and do it that way. Or maybe if we have the internet installed by then, we could perhaps do some video calling to some of our folks. Those would be able to. And so we'll have a fellowship along with that. Pizza will be and chips and veggies will be provided. And if you'd like to bring cookies to share, Christmas cookies. And again, we do have some folks that are in the not at risk category, and so that would be, maybe wouldn't mind as much coming out and doing that. And we also have some folks that maybe would be taking that risk upon themselves and still doing that. And so, but obviously, if that's something you're not comfortable with at all, certainly we understand that. But we're trying to do things as much as we can and still go forward. December 20th is Christmas services are planned for that Sunday before Christmas. Planning to have a morning Christmas service and involving the children here and have a nativity, a brief nativity play program. And then in the evening, planning a candlelight service again this year. So that's December the 20th. And then on the 31st, that's New Year's Eve already. We're already plowing through to the end of the year, looking to the last day of the year. But we are going to try to plan a New Year's Eve fellowship. And so that'll be a soup and sandwich or salad potluck and some games and showing a Christian film here on New Year's Eve. And again, that would be the same caveat that I gave before. We have some people that are in that not-at-risk category, and so that would be maybe willing to do those things, and some that would be taking that risk on themselves by doing that. But obviously, if you're not comfortable with that, we understand that as well. Just say it that way. The thank offering, there was over $2,500 that has been received for that. So we praise the Lord for that. And that is going to cover the cost of equipment needed to go go ahead with the live streaming. And that is, I know some people may not know what that is, but that's a process where we would be simultaneously broadcasting our service live and also recording it. So it does it live and it also records it. If folks couldn't watch it live, there would still be that video recording as well. But it would be broadcast live, so people could be watching at the same time. That's what live streaming is. And so we've been able to order some equipment for that. We were able to upgrade, in addition to a mobile camcorder, which we could take and do live streaming from other areas if needed, if we had the need to, like I said, like to have a baptismal service, you know, that would be somewhere else probably, and taking that, or a funeral. You know, funerals these days at the funeral homes, they have limits on how many people can attend. And if we had a funeral like that, whether in our church or somebody in the community, sometimes we are able to help out with that. You know, just having the ability to live stream that for people that wouldn't be able to come out and be in that due to the capacity that the funeral home does, or just people not feeling comfortable with coming out in a group, that would allow us to capture that live stream and record that. And so we're able to do that, and then also upgrade to a camera that would be mounted here in the sanctuary. Mounted at the back, and it's called a pan tilt zoom camera, and has the ability to be controlled from the sound booth there. And so then in addition, there's an upgraded computer that was ordered and a video switcher that was purchased. And the other thing that we required is the internet from CenturyLink. That's our only option here where we're at. And so that has been ordered, and we're hoping that it gets installed soon. They've told me tomorrow is a date that they're going to be installing, and so we just we pray that that would happen soon, and we can go ahead and get things all set up. We do have a box. It's not a basket. It's a box in the foyer for collecting some non-perishable food items, having that food collection. And so if you'd like to bring in some, you're welcome to do that for a family this Christmas. That's a gift that's usually given to a family that somebody in our church knows, that you know might need it or appreciate it, and just as a gift from the church. So if you know of anybody that you think that maybe would be good for our church to give that gift to of food, if you could let me know, and we'll try to plan for that. We also have a turkey that's going to go with that. That's in the freezer downstairs. But we'll put that together with it and give that out. Again, I want to say thanks to the ladies that decorated the church yesterday. I think there were 9 ladies and girls that came and did the work for that. Appreciate that. All the efforts to keep the church looking nice and beautifying it. So we do appreciate that. All right. Again, Mr. Reynard, his birthday is coming up, so don't forget about that. And the other birthdays in December here. All right. We will open it up here for testimonies or prayer requests. And so just wonder if anybody has a testimony tonight. Anything you'd like to share? Forgot to get that note on the board. Could you get that note from Mr. Ray? Really, you know which one. It's up at the top there. I was going to read that. But any testimonies, prayer requests tonight? Yes, Mrs. Ray.
Thank you.
testimony, Thanksgiving testimony. Appreciate that. All right. Speaking of the Rays here, we have a note here from the Ray family. I'll just read it. It says, Pastor Howard and everyone at MBC, thanks for all your help, prayers, cards, and flowers during this time of our mom's passing. It was comforting to know that through prayers of everyone, we had the extra strength to get through this time. Thank you in Christ, the Ray family. And as you know, Al Ray's mother passed away recently, Lossie Tucker, and they had the funeral down there in Monticello, Kentucky. And so I'm just praying for the Ray family there. And her obituary is there posted on the bulletin board. If you had a chance to read that, no, Mr. Ray wrote a good part of that about his mom, just giving a little bit of that history there. So just encourage you to read that if you haven't done so already. Okay, anybody else tonight? Any other testimonies? Yes, Pastor Gosper.
Thank the Lord for His great power. I just, you know, with the political situations that are going on, and with just various things in life, I think of the example of Caleb that we talked about here in Joshua, that the mountain that the giants were in was not a problem to him. He said, you know, give me that mountain. And I think of, you know, the statement, it seems, comes from many in the scriptures. It's not by many or few. And I think of the power of God. It's not by might nor by by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And we trust in the Lord that's able to do whatever, whether it's his power and his grace. And may we live by faith, like we think of David and Jonathan, David with the Goliath, Jonathan with the Philistines and going up against them himself, and just recognizing the power of God. So it's always an encouragement to us, and may we live by the power of God and not be discouraged when things aren't the way that we want them to be, but we just pray for the Lord's will and recognizing that the Lord can do the impossible, even as I said this morning with his words to Martha, your brother will rise, and meaning he was going to rise very shortly.
Amen. All right. Anyone else tonight? Any other testimonies? Just share from Wednesday, Eva and I were able to go out and talk to some folks in our community here. And then we ended up going and stopping by a boy that visited last Sunday, Martin, in his house, and just talked to a couple of folks in his family and him. But he seems to have some interest in maybe some spiritual things. And I had given him a bird's eye tour of the Bible last Sunday when he was here. And he told me Wednesday there, he said he's almost done with it and almost had finished it. And so we had a first foundations Bible study there and gave that to him and just encouraged him to look through that. And so just pray for him, Martin Harmon. Maybe some of you know him, I don't know, but so just pray for him, pray that he'd come back and
He's got some siblings too. I think a fair amount of siblings over there. Prayer requests. This morning there were some that were shared here. I guess one that was serious there, Andrew Sinclair. I think Becky shared that he has COVID and he's in the hospital with blood clots in his lungs and pneumonia. And he was in poor health. He had just come through brain cancer. And so pray for him as he's in the hospital there. And then his in-laws, I guess, the Smiths, Ron and Sharon, they are sick with the virus. And so just lift up the Smiths as well. And but a praise, and that is Margraf's are having another grandchild with Ron and Amanda. They're expecting another grandchild. So that's a praise for them. All right. And then I guess this is one I'm not sure about, but we've been praying for Pastor Griffith's son. And does anybody have an update on him at all? He passed. Okay. So we've been praying for Pastor Craig Griffith, and he did pass away. And that was Pastor Alan Griffith's son. Alan Griffith has been here as a special speaker, but his son did pass away, so pray for the Griffith family. All right. Anybody else tonight? Any other testimonies or prayer requests you'd like to share? Yes, Sue.
I found out this evening that my second cousin, he's in the hospital and has been for about 4 weeks with the COVID. He's a special needs boy in his 20s, but he's in bad shape right now.
All right. Cousin, second cousin of Sue, with special needs, but he's got the virus in the hospital. So just pray for him. All right. Anybody else tonight? Anybody else? All right, I did want to read a missionary letter that we hadn't read. It was in the bulletin a few weeks ago, but that's from the Studdards, an update from them. And they are missionaries that we support. They've gone to England now. They've really worked with Muslim people in recent years, really for a majority of their ministry, I think. They've tried to reach the Muslims. And so this is their November letter here. It says, "Dear friends, being on the verge of a new field, culture, maybe language, and most definitely driving, I hardly know where to begin. We will depart for Bradford, England, November 22nd. Emotions of all sorts are running high right now, and it is hard to sort them out. Here's an effort. Number one, thankful. We are so thankful that God has given us this opportunity of service to us. We will continue to work with the Muslim people that we love. We will have co-workers, Art and Debbie Cunningham, who have the same passion for them as we do. Number two, grateful. We returned to the States from England in May to sort out paperwork and deal with COVID. We ended up staying at Shepherd's Bethel Missionary Housing in southern Indiana. We were able to help a bit there, fellowship with other missionaries, and prepare visa applications, etc. It was truly a wonderful time that God had arranged for us. Number three, excited. 7 years ago, we landed in Turkey to do what God wanted us to do there. Since God gave us a place to live, help in every area, and friends that we still cherish there, we are confident that He will do it again. Number four, you all are the best supporters a missionary could have. For many years, you have stood with us through many trials and shared many joys. How can we express sufficiently how much you mean to us? I could list names, but the memories are too many. God bless you all. Now pray with us about our settling in Bradford. For me, Bonnie, housing is very important. Entertaining will be an important area. I'm praying for a big kitchen, nice yard, off-street parking. A conservatory would be wonderful since I'm a Southern girl. We'd like to locate near a Muslim neighborhood. Thank you for praying for our visas. We have them for 3 years. To God be the glory, your co-laborers in Him, Randy and Bonnie Studdard. So that's an update from the Studdards. Okay, anything else you'd like to share tonight? Any other testimonies or prayer requests? All right, well, let's have our next hymn.
For our next hymn, we'll sing number 101, Thou Didst Leave Thy Throne, and we'll stand.
Take your Bible and turn to Joshua chapter 23 tonight. Joshua chapter 23. Joshua 23. Appreciate Ben helping out with the song leading tonight and also doing work with the sound system as well, trying to learn that. Appreciate everyone that's trying to learn that. As if we can get the live streaming up, that's going to create another position back there. monitoring things and controlling things, so trying to get some other people that are able to run the sound as it is, and then to learn some new things too. Joshua 23. We've been in Joshua here. It's been a couple weeks since we have been in this book, but we've been progressing through it here. And you remember that this book is about the land of Israel and God's people coming in to invade it. And God had them cross the Jordan, fight some battles, and then go into conquest of that land of Canaan. This book has told us about the various conquests. There was a central campaign, the southern campaign, there was a northern campaign. And then once you get to chapter 13, the scene changes to the division of the land. And God had Joshua lead in dividing up all the portions of the land to the various tribes and assigning them. And we saw how that took place. If you remember 2 weeks ago, we were in chapter 22 where we looked at what happened there, where there was a civil war that almost happened when the eastern tribes on the other side of the Jordan set up this great altar, and the other tribes thought, oh no, they are apostatizing, and they went to talk to them, and turned out, no, that's actually not what happened. They were not going to build this altar to offer sacrifices on it. It was something to help them set up a memorial for their children so that they would see they are part of this land. And so we saw how that crisis was avoided there. And now we come to chapter 23, and this takes us to the final days of Joshua. And chapter 23 and 24 really kind of go together. You have Joshua's farewell address to, first of all, in chapter 23, you have his challenge to the leaders of Israel. And then when we come to chapter 24, we see that his address, his challenge is to all the people come together. But here in chapter 23 tonight, we're just looking at this challenge to the leaders. And Joshua did that first. So I'm going to begin reading here, Joshua 23 and verse 1. And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel and for their elders and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. And ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes, from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you, and drive them from out of your sight, and ye shall possess their land, as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Be ye therefore courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. But cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong, but as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase a thousand, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. Else, if ye do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Therefore, it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you evil things, until he have destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. When ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you. So we have this challenge that Joshua gives to the leaders. We are made aware of the time of this challenge in verse 1. It was a long time after the Lord gave rest from all the enemies. We don't know how long it had been really since they were able to take the land and conquer it. But it was long enough for Joshua to see what was going on and to kind of look and identify some things that maybe he needed to say at this time. Then the audience of the challenge, already pointed that out, but verse 2 tells us about the elders were called, and the heads, and the judges, and their officers. Evidently, there was some kind of authority structure in place, various levels of leaders, officers, and it was those people that Joshua called together. He wanted to talk to them first. Why do you think he wanted to do that? Well, probably those people would have the influence on the people in general, at large. And so he calls together the leaders first, and he challenges them. And he knows the impact that probably that will have as he is able to do that. And then we're also told about Joshua's age at this time, in general terms. Verse 1 says, Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And then he even admits it in verse 2. He says, I am old and stricken in age. How old was he? Well, we know that he spent the first 40 years of his life in Egypt. He spent the next 40 years of his life in the wilderness. And then roughly 7 years of his life in combat, in the conquest here. And so 87 years had gone by. In chapter 24, we see that he dies at the age of 110. And it seems that he's getting near to that point this time as he challenges the leaders. Perhaps it was just slightly before chapter 24. He's probably at least 100 years old. He may be 110 at this point, but he's getting up there. And he says he's old. He says he's stricken in age. So it's part of that that motivates him to give this challenge. He recognized he was getting old, and that is what really encourages him to get up and to say this to the leaders. He had the attitude that the Apostle Peter had when he wrote in 2 Peter 1, verse 13, Peter said, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. What did he mean by that? Well, he wasn't talking about being in the Old Testament tabernacle. You know, that term tabernacle is a word that refers to our bodies sometimes. We all have a tabernacle. It's our body. And the Apostle Peter says, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, I want to stir you up by way of remembrance. And I think Joshua would have had that same thought too. He recognizes that he's approaching his death, and he is thinking, you know, as long as I'm in this body, I want to stir up these people and challenge them. So that's what he's doing here. He has this opportunity And he's motivated, yes, by his old age, but he's motivated to give this challenge. And then we see the theme of Joshua's challenge here. He's concerned for the spiritual safety of Israel. You know, Joshua was a general. He was a military commander. And he could have really challenged the people about their warfare and how to have the right strategy in their battles that they still needed to fight. But he doesn't talk about the military strategy. He's talking about the spiritual issues that are at stake here. And that is his theme. He's challenging these people to be faithful to God. And so, as we look at this challenge he gives, I'm going to point out three parts of it here. First of all, we see that he gives a challenge for courage. He gives a challenge for courage. We notice that comes here in verse 6, where he says, "Be ye therefore very courageous." But all throughout this sermon, really, he is pointing to motivation. And before he gets to that, he is motivating them for courage. And how does he motivate them? Well, in verses 3 and 4, he tells them what the Lord has already done for him. And Joshua could see that probably better than anybody else. If he was close to 110 years old, he could look back on everything since the Exodus from Egypt. You know, he could remember all the way back to Egypt. And he could see all that God had done for them all the way up to this point. And he reminds them, he gives God all the credit for it. Verse 3, "As ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you." And then he divided up the land. Joshua reminds them about that. And then he points them to what the Lord will do for them. He's motivating them to have courage. verse 5, "The Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight." They did still have some more to do. They were divided up now. They had to finish the job. They had to fully remove the Canaanites from the land. And so he's reminding them of what the Lord would do for them and helping them. And then he gives them this challenge for courage. Verse 6, "Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand, nor or to the left." When do you need courage? You know, you might think you need courage when you're tempted to be afraid of something. What are you afraid of? You know, spiders. My girls are afraid of spiders. And we have a lot of, or at least some of them. This one right here. I always get notified when there's a spider, usually in the basement. "Dad, there's a spider. Can't be anywhere around it." And, but you would really need courage if you were going to go and take care of that spider yourself. You have to do something even though you don't feel like you can do it. You know, you have to push through it and be brave, have courage. Being brave in spite of your fear, that's one definition. Doing what has to be done even though you're scared to death. You know, some people might be really scared to get up and say something in front of people. You know, that's something sometimes people are scared of doing. And it requires bravery to do something in spite of your fear sometimes. But you notice that Joshua says you need courage here to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. And then also, verse 7, "that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them." He's saying you're going to need courage to obey God's word. You're going to need courage to avoid the gods of the nations. He's warning them about just having contact with these gods. Even mentioning their names is going to lead to backsliding. It's going to lead you into idol worship. And so he says, have courage. Have courage. What is so courageous about obedience? What is so courageous about obedience? Well, the problem is that oftentimes other people oppose obeying God. You know, we come into situations where it almost makes us a little bit afraid to obey God. Our friends may encourage us to do the opposite, or even our own flesh, we don't feel like it. We don't feel like obeying the Lord. And it requires courage. It can feel scary not to do what everyone else is doing. It can feel scary to obey God and to suffer consequences from others for it. That's why Joshua is telling the people, you need to have courage. You need to behave bravely in spite of your fear, even when it comes to obeying the Lord. And we need that same challenge as well. So we see this challenge for courage, and then notice there's a challenge here to cleave unto the Lord. A challenge for courage and a challenge to cleave unto the Lord. Verse 8, but cleave unto the Lord your God as ye have done unto this day. Cleave unto the Lord your God. That word cleave is the same word that's used in Genesis 2:24. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. And it has to do with being joined together, not just physically, but an emotional tie that comes from love, a single-minded dedication of heart and life. That's what it means to cleave, to really stick together, to cleave to the Lord. So Joshua is challenging them to do that. And then again, we have the motivation for that. Comes back to what God has done. Verse 9, for the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong, but as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. That's what God has done in the past. There's been these great nations with armies and chariots, something Israel didn't have. And yet God gave the victory. God drove out those nations. Then he talks about what God will do in the future again. He's motivating them. Verse 10, here's what he'll do in the future. One man of you shall chase the thousand. For the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you as he hath promised you. As the Israelites went to their various assignments in their tribes, they were spreading out throughout the land. No more gathered army of Israel. They were all divided up, all scattered abroad. What were they going to do? How are they going to finish the job and clear out the rest of these territories from the Canaanites? Well, Joshua says, one man of you shall chase a thousand. Why? It's because he's so strong, able to chase all these people out? No. He says, the Lord shall fight for you. That's how one man shall chase a thousand. The Lord shall fight for you, just like he did when the army was all together. But as these people were all spread out, the Lord was promising to give the victory, no matter what the numbers were. I'm sure it would have been very scary, very disconcerting to see the odds and to see how few that they would have had to deal with now that they were all scattered abroad. But the Lord promised to give them the victory. And so cleave to the Lord, Joshua says. And then finally, his last challenge here, a challenge to courage, a challenge to cleave. And then we see he gives them a challenge to love the Lord. Verse 11, take good heed therefore unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. Else if ye do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. A challenge to love the Lord. Loving God is something that we do in our hearts. We love the Lord from our hearts. Giving God supreme first place in our hearts. It's also the idea of following God, obeying the Lord. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. But to love God, of course, also involves following Him because we really want to. Because we delight to do what God wants us to do. We love the Lord. We're not just following the Lord because it's our duty, although there's times when we have to do that, or because we're scared and we're just following the Lord because, you know, out of fear, although we should fear the Lord and respect the Lord. But the Lord wants us to love Him, to delight in Him, to do His will, and to follow Him in that way. And then there's the other side of love, which I think Joshua talks about in verses 12 and 13, and that involves guarding our hearts. That's what he's warning them about, saying, be careful that you don't go and you start marrying off your children to these Canaanites. That's not what he wanted them to do. That would be the opposite of loving the Lord. That would be putting somebody else first. And the Lord warns, Joshua warns what would happen. They would be snares and traps if they were to go in and marry these people instead of driving them out. It's guarding our hearts from anything unworthy of God. Anything that that robs God from His place in our hearts. And sometimes we find that there are things that are not wrong in themselves, but sometimes we love them too much. And it begins to take the place of God in our lives. And we have to be careful of that. Guarding our hearts from anything unworthy of God. And then again, we find the motivation here. Joshua keeps going back to this, motivating. Verse 14, we find God's faithfulness here. Behold, this day I am going all the way of all the earth, going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Joshua reminds them of his perspective again. He's going the way of the earth, of all the earth. What does that mean? He's about to die. Joshua, as great a leader as he was, a man of God, he was still going to go through death. And as he is nearing that point, he's looking back from his perspective. And what does he know to be true about God? Well, he says God has been faithful. There's not one thing that has not come to pass that the Lord says, that the Lord has said. Not one thing hath failed thereof, he says. God has been faithful. And then he also looks forward and he talks about God's faithfulness, not just in the good things, but he's warning about what God would happen if they turned away. Therefore, it shall come to pass, verse 15, that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things until he have destroyed you from off this good land, which the Lord your God hath given you, when ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you. You know, that's another kind of faithfulness. We sing, Great is thy faithfulness, that hymn. And probably, I would imagine that we're not usually thinking about God's faithfulness to discipline us. when we go astray. We're probably usually thinking about God's faithfulness to protect us and to provide for us. But God is faithful also to chasten us. And he said that he would be faithful with his people as well. Joshua is challenging them here. Look, if you go astray, if you turn after these gods, you start loving these gods because all these nations do, God's going to be faithful. And he is going to kick you out of this land. And Joshua warned them about that. God's faithfulness here in the evil things as well. So here we see Joshua's challenge to the leaders. He is a general. But as he stands here at the end of his life, he could see that the greatest danger facing Israel was not a military problem. It was a spiritual problem. A moral problem. And probably, I think, if Joshua were here today, he were looking at us and our situation, you know, I don't think he would be talking about our political situation, as bad as that is. I doubt he's going to be talking about our economic situation. I doubt that he's going to be talking about our medical situation here in this time in which we live. Those are all serious things. But here's a man, he stands from a high perspective, 110 years old, probably close to that at this point. And he's challenging his people for a final time, these leaders. And he's challenging them with these spiritual issues here. Spiritual danger of loving other things more than God. And that's a challenge that we need today as well. We are just as much in need of courage, not just to face the dangers of life, but to obey God. That's what we need courage for, to obey the Lord. And we need a challenge to cleave unto the Lord, not to depart from Him. And we need that challenge to love the Lord, to put Him first in our lives, and to delight in following Him and obeying Him. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word. Thank You for this challenge that still speaks to us today because it's Your inspired word. And we need this warning. We need this challenge in our lives. Lord, give us courage just to obey You. Help us to cleave to You. Help us to love You sincerely and genuinely. Lord, we've seen the evidence of Your faithfulness and of all that You have done for Your people and the promises that You kept, and we see that in an even greater way from our perspective here as New Testament Christians. We thank You for Jesus Christ and the work that He accomplished in fulfillment of Your plan. And Father, we pray that You'd help us to heed these warnings that were given as well. We ask You for Your grace and Your help to continue to obey You and to love You with all of our hearts, minds, and souls, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take our song sheet again, and we'll sing that final hymn.